Morning, everyone. No, it's not morning, it's afternoon. To some that are watching, it may be morning, but actually here it's afternoon. So good afternoon, brethren, and happy feast to all of you, both here and all of you watching online. Well, as we celebrate the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard the saying, use your head, it's the little things that count? Now, such a statement might be taken in various ways. What came to your mind? Was it positive or negative? You know, could the person who said that be trying to imply your head's too small? Or could he be telling you, oh, you don't have the big head? Or could it be intended more like, just realize we need to seriously concentrate on what may be counted as little things, which when considered alone, don't seem very important. But in the end, little things can make a big difference. And that's the title of my sermonette today, The Little Things. Also today, being an annual holy day, and as we do every holy day, we'll be taking up an offering. So if any of you need an offering envelope and you will raise your hand, and usher will see that you get one. But before we take up the offering, I'd like you to consider a couple of examples as to the importance of little things. In the late 1970s, I was hired to evaluate how to improve agricultural production for a large plantation. I spent a lot of time there over several years. And the manager, who was around age 65 at that time, and I became good friends. Once he told me about an experience he had when he was around 15 years old. That would have been 50 years prior to that. That was in the 1970s, so it would have been about the 1920s. He was working summers for his uncle, who managed a store for a very large plantation in the South. A part of his job every workday was to deliver a sack lunch prepared by his uncle to the office of the owner of the plantation. This would have been, again, somewhere around the 1920s. One day, when he entered the owner's office, he was shocked at what he saw. There was a big black man sitting with his feet propped up on the owner's desk, smoking a big cigar. When he got back to the store and told his uncle commented essentially this way, well, young man, if you had done what that man did, you could be sitting there and put your feet up on the owner's desk too. His uncle went on to point out how this man worked for the owner's father. And when the father was on his deathbed, he called him in for just the two of them to have a talk. Nobody else was there. The father told the man that he was afraid his son would go bankrupt and lose everything. And when that happened, he asked this same man to give his son this very large sack. Nobody else knew what happened that day. Several years after his father's death, sure enough, the son was about to lose everything. At that time, this man walked in and told him his father was afraid this would happen. And when it did, he was to give him this big sack. That sack contained $100,000 in cash. In today's money, that's equivalent to about $1,750,000. And with that money, the son was able to save everything and continue to prosper and improve the plantation, owned and operated for the rest of his life, and passed it on to his family. Now, keep in mind that no one knew this man had the money. The only person that knew was dead. He could have left the area and lived richly, but didn't. He stayed right there. No one would have known. You know, that demonstrates a huge amount of trust on the part of someone. How did this very rich landowner know to entrust a man who worked for him with such a valuable amount of money that no one else even knew he had? Could it be that we could look in the Bible and find an answer to that? Let's look at Luke. Luke chapter 16 and begin in verse 10. Luke 16 verse 10 says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" But what does that have to do with us here today? On the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, a holy day on which we are commanded to appear before God, one of the few days when we come before God to take up an offering, as shown in Deuteronomy 16, verses 16 and 17. And let's turn there and read that. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16. "Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he has chosen," or place which he chooses, "at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed." So today we're here and we will be taking up an offering, but we may sometimes tend, as we sit here, to think that what we bring and give is so little as compared to others, or as compared to what God has given us. But does God need our money? If you or I could somehow amass all the money and the riches of the world and bring it and give it to God, that's really nothing in comparison to what God already has, is it? God is not looking for our money. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Mark 12, verse 41. And here we read, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites," which makes a quadrant. So he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury." It's not the amount, is it? That widow put in two mites. That was more than everyone else together had done. Why? Verse 44, "But they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." You know, that's what God wants from us. All that we have. Not all our money, but all that we have for our livelihood. It's not the money. God does not need our money. He is looking for something far more valuable to him than that. He's looking for who will be the most faithful in the little things to determine who he can trust in his kingdom to entrust the real, true riches. That's what God's looking for, our attitude, how we give, not how much we give. Because God knows and understands and tells us, as we just read in Luke 16, verse 10, "He who is faithful in what is little is faithful in much." That's what God wants to know. That we're going to be faithful in the small things, the things we face all the time. Then he knows how faithful we'll be in the real, true riches. But while we're celebrating, what about the other little things while we're here at the feast? Are we paying attention to them or not? So, brethren, as we prepare for the offering, just one more little thing One more little thing to consider, or is it? Consider where we're told in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, God loves a cheerful giver. And also, don't forget, use your head. Because in this life, it really is the little things that count.